I have a fun one today. I think this is good. It's going to challenge you, but it's going to be a much better challenge than that one last week. It was a wee bit heavy, but I think God wanted us to hear it. But today, I think, is going to be a good challenge. Let's begin with a prayer, please. So today, God, as we get into your word and we start talking about what you want us to hear, what you want us to learn, guide us in our thoughts, keep our minds open, and keep our minds focused on you, Lord, and your word. And we thank you so much for the wonderful anointing of the Holy Spirit in this place and on our lives and in your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. If you would, please turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. For you that's joining us at home, glad you're here. You actually honor us with your presence. So thank you for being here. Feel free to call, text. Well, I mean, not right now, but at any point, call or text the church or my number and put a comment down there if you have questions or comments. 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness, so then let us not sleep as others do. We're talking about spiritually here. But let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or sleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. There's so many negative topics today, so much negative news. It seems more than usual, at least in my lifetime. It seems there's just more negativity. From the riots to the virus to all kinds of stuff. The economy, there's just a lot of negativity. And it seems that even the best of Christians sometimes can get caught up discussing these negative things more than they're discussing positive things. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't discuss important or difficult matters in life. I think that sometimes that is true and we need to do that. But number one, are we discussing those difficult matters in the light of Christ, in the light of love, and in the light of eternity? Are we discussing the positive things more than the negative things? It seems, even so more now than possibly ever, that it's so easy to fill up on the negativity. We have so many conversations, and it seems to end with, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it's a mess, you know. And it is. That may be true. But what is on our lips the most? See, because on top of all of this that we have going on in these days, it is human nature to have a tendency to think negatively about yourself as well. We have this tendency to think, I'm not good enough, I'm not adequate, I won't be able to pull it off, what God wants me to do. There's that tendency. Now, we may never say that out loud, but deep down, many humans have that feeling. I'm not good enough. So on top of the things that's going on in this world, we have this sometimes on the inside of us. And unfortunately, negative words are more memorable than positive words. Now, the reason that we need to talk about this is because of the true, yet sometimes unrealized, power of your words. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. The solution to all of this negativity is in our words. We hear a lot about positive confessions and positive confessions about ourselves and how we speak over ourselves, and that's good, and all of that is true. But there are more examples and instructions in the Bible to speak positively to other people than there is to speak positively to yourself. The Bible calls it encourage or edify. I began to notice this one day a couple of weeks ago. I was reading my Bible and I just realized there's a lot of times in there that, especially Paul, in Paul's writings, that he talks about and gives us instructions, Christian doctrines, to encourage each other, to exhort one another, to edify one another. And when I began to research it, I found that it's in there a lot more than I even imagined. Notice in the passage we just read in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul begins talking about the day of the Lord coming like a thief in the night. But, you know, it's going to take a lot of people by surprise and they may perish. But we, you know, we as Christians, we're going to be ready for this. We're not going to be that surprised. We're prepared, right? So all of this stuff that he's talking about, the great day of the Lord, and then what does he say? Verse 11, at the end of it, all of this stuff is happening. What do we do? Therefore, encourage one another. Now, but what do I do to save me? Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. Sometimes we may have to talk about the unpleasantness of life, but by and large, am I building up my brothers and sisters in Christ? Am I encouraging others? Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Impacting others by our encouraging words. The word is the same in both scriptures that we just read. Translates to encourage or edify. Comes from a Greek word that is really fun to say. You should try it. Oikodomeo. No, not Cinco de Mayo. Close enough. Oikodomeo literally means to be a house builder, that is, to construct. The Bible uses it figuratively, to build up, edify, or embolden. The root word, even in the Greek, means the building of a structure like a house. And just like we read in Ephesians 4:29, as Paul instructs, we build up each other with our words, with our speech, encourage, edify, be a people builder. Paul teaches that we as Christians are responsible for building people. God was an encourager and a people builder. We'll read in Romans 15:1-7, this passage. It talks about God being an encourager. It talks about the scriptures encouraging as well. Romans 15:1. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. I wanted to read this whole passage because there's not much better picture painted by Paul that paints the basic doctrine of Christianity is an outward focused religion. It's all about other people. Agape love is for other people. So anyway, God is our encourager and the Scriptures are our encourager. Jesus encouraged many times, obviously, like John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That's encouraging. Be of good cheer, or take courage. John 14:27, he was an encourager. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Encouragement. The Holy Spirit is an encourager. Acts 9:31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continued to increase. Some versions say in the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. We have great examples of encouragement. I think for me, what I found out in this study is that I don't do it enough. I don't take it seriously enough, and I need to add it into my Christian walk. Here's our strategy. Number one. To encourage people, to be a people builder, use your words. We just read in Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification. Number two, use your presence. Paul taught encouragement by joining together in faith. Romans 1:11-12. He writes this. For I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us, by the other's faith, both yours and mine. One of the benefits of church is not just coming and hearing a great sermon. One of the benefits of church is each other. We are encouraged by each other. By being here and joining our faith together, we are encouraged. It's called, I call it positive peer pressure. When I'm about to do something in life and my inward spirit kind of stops and says, is that really, should you do that? And one of the things I think about, would Kevin do this? Well, no, she's a good Christian. So I'm like, okay, I'm out. Positive peer pressure. We encourage each other. Thank you, Kevin, for encouraging me. You look great today, by the way. See how that works, everybody? Positive influence on each other because of our presence. Number three, do it daily. Hebrews 3:13. Do it daily. And this one comes with an advantage. Listen to this. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Here we have not only a command to do it daily, but we have a promise that comes with it. when you daily encourage each other, when we begin to get in that habit, when we set that as a basic Christian principle, a fundamental doctrine in our Christian journey in life, when we have that encouragement going on, we won't be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. I like that, because sin is deceitful. Deceitful means you accidentally, I mean, it deceives you. It draws you away. It takes you away from your spiritual thoughts. We will become soft and pliable like God wants us to be for the will of God. Number four, be intentional. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Be intentional. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider, and here it is, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It sounds like the closer we get to the last days, whenever that may be, we need to encourage each other. And I will say this, I don't know when the last days for sure is going to happen, but I know that we're closer than we've ever been. Like that one farmer said one morning, it's later than it's ever been. But he says in verse 24, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Think about it. You see somebody, you love somebody, you want to encourage them. How can I encourage them? What can I say? What can I do that would encourage them? Make it intentional. Okay. Number five, be sincere. And this is an easy one. My scripture for this comes from Leviticus 19:11. You shall not lie. Be sincere. When you encourage someone, have you ever known someone that gets a little bit too carried away with their encouragement and then you begin like, I appreciate it, but I don't know how sincere it is. Be sincere about your encouragement. And don't lie. But if someone encourages you and you suspect that they may not be sincere, just take it that they are. Think the best of them and say thank you and take that compliment like they truly, truly mean it. Amen. Many times in praise and worship, I've led and taught many praise and worship teams, and sometimes I want to be encouraging and I have to be very careful because I also don't want to lie. Somebody told me one time that wanted to encourage me. He said, man, I just got done with the song or whatever. And he comes up and says, oh, Jeff, man, you really sounded. That's it. Okay. But we want to be honest. We want to be true, but it's important that we think about it, give it consideration, and be sincere about it. Number six, here's another one. Be sacrificial. In Acts 16:40, we read about when Paul and Silas was in prison, after they got out of prison in Acts 16:40. They went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia, and when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Now, one of the things I thought about is here. I just got out of prison. I've been imprisoned for something that I didn't do. I'm not guilty. I was in a prison. Pretty nasty prison is what it sounds like to me. And I go to someone's house, a Christian meeting, and you want something from me? I'm like, give me a minute. You guys just hang on. I just got out of prison. And they treated me terrible. Encourage yourself for a little bit. They didn't do that. That wasn't Paul and Silas' way. They were sacrificial. They just got out of prison. They went to a house, basically, to encourage people. And then they left, it says. Sometimes encouragement is sacrificial. Regardless of how we feel, at the moment, realize your opportunities to build people. When I'm having a rough day, when I'm having a dark time in my life, it is difficult for me to try to think of something good to say to somebody else. I'm low, I'm down, and you want me to build you up. But that's exactly right. Yes. Sometimes it's sacrificial. There was a study that I read about during this research. I want to read something about it. They studied about the effects of being in a positive and encouraging atmosphere. And they determined that students with a perceived theory that they could improve their intelligence performed better and received higher grades than those who believed their level of intelligence was set at birth. They applied different teaching methods, proving that the group with words of encouragement saw an upward trajectory in their grades, as opposed to the opposite with the control group. This was a study at the Indiana University in 2019, and they conducted a study to evaluate encouragement as a character quality. According to this study, a genuine nature of encouragement is a character strength that you benefit from just as much as those that you encourage. By encouraging people, people will like you more and others will like themselves, and it circulates to create an environment that represents the good life. See, this isn't biblical. This isn't from a Christian university. This is just the science of our personalities, our characteristics. Being encouraging is not only healthy for others, but it's also healthy for you. They found it in these studies that in a culture of encouragement, benefits were seen professionally, financially, and athletically as well. Now, many of you may have heard that negative encouragement is the best motivator. Anybody ever heard that? Especially in sports. This study, they say that negativity is the best motivator because it pushes students or it pushes athletes to do better. This study shows that that is not the case at all. The opposite is actually the case. Words are powerful. And when we understand the benefits and the necessity of building each other, and when we begin to practice this daily, I believe that we're going to begin to see God heal in a way that we've not seen yet. I believe that we're going to be able to feel God in a way, He's going to move in a way that we have not felt yet. This little thing that takes, it's just another thing that takes the focus off of ourselves and puts it on somebody else, like Paul says, preferring others. My dad had a best friend when I was just a little boy. Some of you may know him, Willis Campbell. I know some may know him from Life Christian Center or even Union Grove, but he was a best friend and they went camping together. Willis and his wife and my mom and my dad went camping together, and I went because my dad retired early. I was very young when they had me, and so my dad retired early. I got to do a lot of camping out with mom and dad and Willis and Maeveen Campbell. Well, he was such a good friend to dad, and they were with each other so often that as growing up, I began to have this feeling for Willis just like my dad did. He was just as important. I loved Willis like he was my best friend. As a matter of fact, as a child, sometimes I just claimed Willis as my best friend too. Someone that my dad loved so much, I wanted to love as much as well. He became more important to me because of how important he was to his dad. You remember Willis Campbell? We would set up camper to camper, and I would open the window early in the morning and say, "Willie, Willie!" And I was a little boy, and my parents would tell me that story. "Willie, Willie!" If we went anywhere and there wasn't an old blue and white pickup truck camper shell on it right behind us, I thought something is wrong. But he was important to me because of how important he was to my father. And I thought of that when I began to think about this. The closer that we get to God, the more value we put on his loved ones. Many times you've heard me say, to God, you're a pretty big deal. And you are. But you know what? So is everybody else. So if those people are important to God, when we begin to realize that those people are the ones that God said, I'm going to give my only begotten son because I don't want them to perish. To those people, God loved them that much like he loved me. If they're that important to God, they're going to become that important to me. I'm going to take the responsibility upon myself to begin to build people. What if the responsibility was in your hands to build someone up in such a way that they are a greater use in the kingdom of God? Or that their calling, they were able to live out their calling that God has willed on their life to a greater degree. And that responsibility could possibly be in your hands. And if you don't do it, someone else may. But God wants you to do that. Be a people builder. When our world seems to trend along the negative, be a people builder. Charles Stanley said this. He said, never underestimate the impact that gracious words, sound advice, or acts of kindness may have on a fellow believer. Our words are powerful. Our words have the power of the Holy Spirit behind them. And the Holy Spirit is greater than anything in this world. And I can use that in something as simply as being purposeful, intentional, and in daily doing this sincerely, encouraging people, I can build them up so that they can be bigger impact, a better Christian, a more happy with themselves. And they can become what God wants them to be. And I have a hand in that when I take the spot of a people builder in their life. Right? So the challenge for this week you actually have homework to do. You have to purposely, intentionally build someone up. Now, for some people, it's very easy. Gary is a people builder. He is super encouraging. He's fantastic at it. It's very natural for him to be a people builder. And it's very sincere, and he does it a lot, and it's wonderful. I love it. It helps me. Because sometimes, as with us all, we go through days, we do some things, and we think, ugh. I dropped the ball on that one. And then there's somebody like Gary Burroughs that comes by and says, I love you. You're doing great. That's people building. So I challenge you this week. Take opportunity, find opportunity to intentionally and sincerely build someone up with an encouraging word. There is enough negativity already. Build someone up with an encouraging word. You want to change the subject of how the world's going on today? Tell somebody how great they are doing at something. You want to change somebody's attitude that seems like they're having a bad day? Tell them how wonderful it is to see them and how good they look.